Better. Good morning, everybody. Last week we came to the end of chapter 38. Was it 38? 37. We finished chapter 37. There was only one thing at this point that I want to go back to at the end of chapter 37. Just to point out a Rashi, which is a statement of our rabbis that explains something that we posed as a question at the end of the shir. In chapter 38, pasuk 38, isn't that interesting? 37. I take it back, it wasn't so interesting. 37, pasuk 38, vayihu mishtachavet beit misroch elahav, it's talking about some cherev had to flee from the gates of Yerushalayim because the angel had come down and smote 185,000 of his men. So he fled, he went back. The pasuk before says that Sancheriv, the king of Asher, returned and he lived in Nineveh. He was bowing down in the house of his god Nisroch, and two of his children assassinate him. The Sar Etzer, one of Hiku Bacherev, his two sons, Adramelech and Sar Etzer, smote him by the sword. Vehemo Nimlutu Eretz Arorot, they fled to the land of Arorot. Vayimloch Esar Chadon Beno Tartov, his son Esar Chadon ruled in his place. So Rashi fills in what we have to understand. Why did they assassinate him? So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, first of all, it's important, what kind of a god was Nisroch? In the house of Nisroch, Nisroch, Rashi says, comes from the word Neser. A Neser is a plank of wood. It seems they had a plank of wood from Noah's Ark, and that's what they worshipped. I mean, there are all sorts of worships in the world. There are those who worship a robe? What is it? Is it the robe?
The shroud.
The shroud of?
Turin.
The shroud of Turin. Maybe Lahantel, they had a piece of the Ark of Noach. Beit Nisroch, Rashi says, Neser mitevato shel Noach, it was first by God's chelet. The Gemara says they had a plank, a piece of wood from the Teva Noach, because they saw Noach as a divine figure. They smote him by the sword. Why did they kill him? Sha'ama, you see, he was faced with a terrible problem. He has to return home. He and a handful of men are going to return home, and they've left 185,000 young people dead around Jerusalem. What is he going to say to his people? How is he going to survive such an ignominious defeat? What do you think people are going to do to a king who returns from such a defeat? How many presidents went down because of the Vietnam War? Over here we're talking about a terrible tragedy has befallen the great conqueror. So Rashi says that he said the following: Shama im tatzaloti shelo yaharguni bnei malchuti. He said to his deity that if you will save me from so that the people of my kingdom shall not kill me, shehibeti bneihem kan umeitu. Why would they want to kill me? Because I brought their sons here. And they died here. They all died in battle or whatever it was. They all died. So you know what I'm going to do? Akriv shnei banai lefanecha. I will bring my two sons as a sacrifice before you, if you save my life. Amdu v'haragu. So the two sons killed their father. By the way, here is a classic. No, he has, I'm afraid to say it. We'll say it softly. Their father has a din rodef. Sancherev has the halacha of a rodef. He is a pursuer. He wants to kill his children. So yes, it turns out to be self-defense. Absolutely self-defense. Otherwise, The fact is that the story makes no sense whatsoever. Why in heaven's name should they put him to death? I would and they know that they can't remain there afterwards. You know, they plan to flee. They plan to flee the country. They're not going to be there. So it means that what really happens is the destruction of his army at the gates of Yerushalayim brings down destruction upon his own family as well. I was reading the last 30, chapter 37, pasuk 38, the last pasuk in the chapter, which was the last. All right. Now, what I'm going to try and do, yes.
It seems that this one preordained that the host would have just fled anyway without him, without
killing. Well, unless, of course, you get the feeling that there's no place on the face of this earth where you can hide from the long arm of a king. He'll hunt you. Who may hunt you down any place in the world? And most probably he is rebuilding his own... Because remember, he had said that if my people do not kill me, then I'm going to bring my two sons... My two sons as a sacrifice. So it seems that somehow or other he was able to begin to rebuild his kingdom. And by the way, now with your question, I now understand why it said in the pasuk before, "Vayisar, Vayelech, Vayoshev, Samcherem, Malachasha, Vayeshev, Beninveh." Why does it have to tell us Vayeshev, Beninveh? He went back home. No, Vayeshev, Beninveh means that he settled into Nineveh and he rode out the crisis. That's what Vayeshev Beninveh means. Now, if he rides out the crisis, if he now is able to pick up the reins of government again, then his children are in grave danger. That's why they killed him. Good. Now, what I had all sorts of different plans for this year today, and what I think I want to do since chapters 36, 37, 38, and 39 are really one unit. So before we really... begin to expand on all sorts of things, I just want to go through the next two chapters and we'll see how much we can do now so that but here I'm going to get very tough with you. You should know I want you to know these chapters well, because we're going to have to do a little bit of comparison between these chapters and how they appear in Melachim and in Divrei Hayyamim. And of course there are some other things. I may even give you some homework here. I just have this feeling sometimes that you don't always take me seriously about Homer. So we may have to, let the axe fall. All right, now we're beginning the shiur. I want to say that I'm dedicating the shiur for Refuah Shleima for Chaim Mordechai ben Necha Reuben. That's Sally Hoskins. She usually comes to the shiur. It's her father. He is in hospital now. So you should have a Refuah Shleima. And especially this chapter is talking about the illness of Chizkiyahu and 38. The illness of Chizkiyahu in those days. What does it mean in those days? Rashi explains immediately. Now, the Bayamahim means has to mean a particular well known moment in history. Bayamahim, those days, Cholah Chizkiyahu Lamut, Chizkiyahu took ill to the point that he was on the verge of dying, and Rashi says, Shlosha yomim lufnei matalato shel Sancheriv cholach Chizkiyahu. 3 days before the downfall of Sancheriv, that means the forces of Sancheriv have now surrounded Yerushalayim. The city is about to fall into the hands of Sancheriv. Chizkiyahu takes ill, and it says, I don't know, in some other context we once discussed this, by Vayavo Elov Yishayahu ben Amal Tanavi, Yishayahu ben Amal Tanavi came. Now this is of course the strangest and possibly the most bizarre Bikur Cholim visit in history. Yishayahu ben Amal Tanavi comes to Chizkiyahu and he tells him, Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Tzav Leveitecha, make your will for your house, Ki Meit Atah V'lo Tichyeh. You're going to die and you're not going to live. I mean, this is Shkoyach. You understand? I mean, this is quite a bigger column of this, if you understand. Of course, once we get to the end of the chapter, we're going to see that it's going to be precisely this bigger column visit. It's precisely this that is going to ultimately give Chizkiyahu life. And it says immediately, by Yasev Chizkiyahu panav akir, Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall. The Gemara says that from here you learn that a person, if possible, should daven near a wall so that there should be nothing to distract him. I have a feeling, and I think I have what to base it on, when Chizkiyahu turns to the wall, not only is he turning to the wall, he is in a sense turning his back on Yeshayahu ben Amoz and his prophecies. The Gemara says it in the following manner. The Gemara doesn't really read the Pasuk that way. That's my own reading of the Pasuk. The Gemara says that when Chizkiyahu came to Yeshayahu came to Chizkiyahu and told him that you're going to die. So first he asked him, why? What is my sin? So the Gemara says that his sin was that he did not marry. Chizkiyahu did not marry. Why didn't Chizkiyahu marry? Because he saw that a Rasha by the name of Menashe was going to come from him. His son would be Menashe. He didn't want to marry. So he tells Yeshayahu, why should I marry and bring a Menashe into the world? So Yeshayahu tells him, Bahade kav shei derachmona lamalach, an extremely important statement of our rabbi. Bahade kav shei derachmona, by the secrets of God. Kavshi is secrets, the Rachmana of God. Lamalach, what are you doing with that? That's not your business. Your business is not the mitkedet, what you're commanded to do, you're supposed to do. It's not your responsibility. It is a mitzvah furuvu. You're not responsible to figure out what's going to come from that furuvu. Even if you have that kind of information, your responsibility is to do that which you are commanded to do. Finish. When he tells him that he's going to die as a result of not marrying, so Chizkiyahu then makes the great statement that we'll also have to elaborate on further. Kah, he tells Yeshayahu ben Amoz the following, Kah bekublani mibeit avi abba, this is what I've received from my grandfather. There is a tradition in our family. Afilu cheret chadomu nachat al tzavoru shalodom, even if there is a sharp sword that is upon a man's neck, al yitya'esh min haracham, and you never despair of God's mercy. Even if things look black and they can't get any worse, and it looks as though the end is here, you never give up hope. And then by Yasef Panav Chizkiyahu Alakir, Chizkiyahu turned around to the wall, and as I say, I read in this that he is turning, he's doing two things. He is turning his back on Yeshayahu, and he is turning to the wall in order to pray. Vayitpalel al Hashem, and he prayed to God. Vayom, and he said, Ono Hashem, please God, zechorno et asher hitalachti lefanecha be'emet u'b'leiv shalom, remember please that I walk before you in truth and with a complete heart, v'atov be'enecha asiti, and I did that which was good in your eyes. Vayev Chizkiyahu b'chi gadol, and Chizkiyahu cried a great cry. But it's not only that. He has also decided that he is going to marry. Most probably, if he would simply cry, but he's not ready to change his ways, nothing would help. But he's ready to do that as well. And the Gemara says that he asked for Yeshayahu's daughter in marriage because he thought maybe in my zchus and your zchus we will not have the tragedy of a Menashe that will come from us. And Yeshayahu did give him his daughter in marriage. The word of God came to Yeshayahu so saying, Halo v'amaratel Chizkiyahu, go and say to Chizkiyahu, Ko amar Hashem l'kei David avicha, so says God, the God of your father David. Shamati et filotecha, I have heard your prayer. Ra'iti et dimotecha, I have seen your tears. Hinini yosif al yomecha, I add to your years, chamesh esrei shana, another 15 years I'm going to add. U'mikaf melech ashur atzilcha. Now here, I said that Rashi at the beginning of the Perek had said that this is 3 days before the fall of Sancheret. And we see that in God's response to him. Because God says, U'mikaf melech ashur atzilcha, I'm going to save you from the hand of the king of Ashur. That means he is right now in grave danger from the hands of the king of Ashur. I'm going to save this city. V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot. This was said early and it's being said again. I am going to protect this city. V'zeh l'cha ha'ot me'et Hashem. This is the sign from God. Hashem et ha'tovar hazeh asher diber. You can be absolutely certain that God is going to do it, because this is the sign that God will do what he has said. Hinini me'yishiv et tzel ha'ma'alot asher etov ha'ma'alot achaz v'shemesh achoranit eseh ma'alot. I will explain. There was a sun, what do you call it? A sun cloud, sundial. And the sundial measured the hours of the day by steps. Each step represented a certain amount of time. Now, he says the day is going to become longer. The day is going to become longer by 10 hours. 10 of the steps. Instead of the sun going down the 10 steps, it's going to move back up 10 steps. What are these steps? How does the Navi describe these steps? The steps of Achaz. Achaz was the father of Chizkiyahu, and he was a Rasha. And what happened was, on the day of the death of Achaz, the sun set 10 hours early, so that there should be no opportunity to eulogize Achaz. Achaz was a Rasha, and therefore the day lost. The day lost 10 hours. I'm going to give you back those 10 hours. That's that's going to be the sign. In other words, Achaz ahead, Chizkiyahu fall back. You understand? So now look at the Pasuk. Hinini Meshiv, I'm going to return. Turn back at sail the shadow of the ma'alot of the steps. Asher yoratov ma'alot achaz, that had gone down quickly, prematurely, on the sun steps of achaz. Vashemesh achoranit eser ma'alot, 10 degrees. Vatosha vashemesh eser ma'alot v'ma'alot asher yada. And that's exactly what happened. The day became a longer day. I imagine, of course, that this also represents the idea that life is going to be longer. You're going to have a longer day. Michtav l'Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. A letter that was sent by Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, b'chaloto, when he took ill, v'yechi meicholyo, and he was healed from his illness. Huh? What? What was the question? I didn't hear what any one of you said.
He went.
No. This is a letter that Chizkiyahu had because he wrote it, and then he made it public. In other words, when a person writes a letter, it's his letter. When does it become everybody's letter? When it appears on the internet. Understand? The letter is Chizkiyahu's. A letter that he wrote praising God and thanking him for having healed him, and then he makes the letter public. I know what you're about, but it sounds like a letter, you know, delivered a letter to the postman, delivered a letter, the sooner the better, to Chizkiyahu. No, le Chizkiyahu doesn't only mean le means that which belongs to. So it's his letter until he makes it public. Ani Amarti, I had thought to myself, B'dmi yamai elecha b'sha'arei sha'ol. B'dmi yamai, unfortunately, this is, you see this sometimes on the on Moda'ot Evel, the announcements in the streets, if a young person dies, Niktaf B'dmi yamav, plucked in the early part of one's life. The way the pasuk reads over here, it really means bidmi, can mean cut out, removed. Bidmi, my days have been cut out, and elecha, I will go b'sha'arei sha'ol, to the gates of the grave. Pukadati yeter shenotai. The word pukadati, and we've had this a number of times, the word pukadati means to be missing, by David and Yonatan. David will be missing ki yipokeid moshavecha, because where you sit is going to be empty. The rest of my years will be missing. This is what I thought. Amarti, I thought to myself, lo edeh yor, I will not see God. He uses specifically the name Yud Hey because of a pasuk in Hallel, lo hametim yehallelu ka. The dead will not praise God. Amarti, I said to myself, lo edeh yor, yor be'eretz hachaim, because God is in the land of the living. Lo abit adam od, I will not see man. Lo abit adam, I will not see man, or I will not see man again. In yoshvei chodel, with those who live on the face of this earth. Chodel means is similar to the word choled, which means the globe. Dori nisar vilnigla mini kaohel roi. Dori, it comes from the word where one lives. A dira. Dori, my residence here, nisa, has journeyed away. Viniglomini, and it has been exiled. The word vinigla, I have been exiled, kaohel roi, like the tent of a shepherd. The tent of a shepherd. He picks himself up and he takes his tent and he goes from one place to the next. When there's no longer any grazing land here, he moves elsewhere. So he says, so that's why he says, Dori, my living in this land, on the face of this earth, Nisar has journeyed, Viniglomini, and it has, I've been exiled from it, Ka'ohel Ro'i, Kipaditi Ka'oreg Chayai. Kipaditi, I had sort of lost. Ka'oreg chayai. He's using the example of a how you make wool, the spinning mill, yes, the spinning wheel. In other words, that it goes very swiftly. It starts moving very quickly, so that my life has ended very quickly. Oreg is the weaving. Kipaditi, I lost ka'oreg, like the weaving of my life. But then you know what happened? Midal oyeva tzeini. Midala can have a positive or a negative meaning. Midal oyeva tzeini, that from the very depths, either you have raised me or you have finished me. Miyom ad laila tashlimeni. And I thought, between day and night, this day, the end will come. Shiviti ad boker kari. Shiviti over here means I forced myself until morning, like a lion. I held on to life. I fought the illness. Kein yishaber kol atzmo tai. And the more I fought, the more the illness broke all of the bones of my body. And therefore, he repeats again, here it is, I'm putting in this tremendous effort to overcome the illness, and I feel that I'm getting sicker and sicker. Miyom ad laila tashlimeni. Same way he ended the pasuk before he ends this one, and I thought, from day until night will be my end. Kesus ogur kein atzachtzeif. Here I need your English translation. Most of the Farshim say that sus is not a horse. Ksus is a bird. Ksus, of course, what do you have? Crane and swallow. Ksus, of course. Now, so remember, the word, the letter k does not mean like. Ksus is the noun, like the, not like. The like is understood over here. That I whistle. In other words, in my prayer, it is like that I'm whistling like the crane and the swallow. Eheged kayona, I will hum like the dove. Dalu einai lamadom, I lifted my eyes to the very heights. Hashem, and what was it that I said to him? Oshtali, God, steal me away from the hands of the angel of death. Grab me away. Oshtali, grab me away from his hands. Orveni, be the. It can mean either be sweet to me, from the word orev meaning sweet. It can mean. Rashi, of course, has a word in Old French that most probably will make it more clear to you. Vo orveni lihinatzel, orveni to save me, loshen arvut, garantia. The laws guarantee my safety. So if you think you didn't know a word in Old French, you know it now. Garantia. An orev, everybody who's come on Aliyah knows what an orev is. I mean, I must tell you, I don't know if it's still today, we needed five. I remember every Olech Hadash always, you know, there were those who needed five Arabim. They didn't know that that's Arabs. Or they needed five Aravim, that's five evenings, until they learned five Arevim. And Arev is one who guarantees, and he wants God to be the one who will guarantee, his life. Mo'adaber. What is there that I can say? There's so much that I want to say in praise of God. Vo'amarli. And he said to me that he's going to save my life, for who asa, and he did it. Etadeh kol shenotai, almar nafshi. I will wonder, I will, either, a better way to translate it is, in other words, it means movement, that I'm going to move through my whole life, thanking and praising God. It can also mean, from the Pasuk in Megillat Esther, Balaila hahu, that night nodidosh nat hamelech, the king's sleep was disturbed. Hizkiyahu says he's not going to sleep at night because he's going to praise God until the end of his days. Kol shnotai, Adar will remove sleep from my kol shnotai. Now, even the word shnotai can mean for the rest of my life, all of my years, or kol shnotai means from sheina, my sleep. I will remove all sleep. Almar nafshi, because of what God did to me when I was bitter. What did He do? He saved me. Hashem aleihem yichyu. God, upon all of them, all of the dead, let them be brought back to life. Ulechol behen chayei ruchi. And the first one that you did, this one, of all of them, it was my life that you brought back. V'tachlimeni v'hachayeni. You healed me, hachlama, this is the word, l'hachlim. You healed me, v'hachayeni, and you gave me life. Hinei, l'shalom, mar limar. Very fascinating pasuk. Let me read first what what Rashi says. Kishinit basarti shalom afhu limar shahare toluri harafua bischut achayrin. Rashi is quoting Chazal. He says, he made a shalom even when I was told that everything is going to be well, there was still a tinge and a note of bitterness. What was the note of bitterness? Because when God told him that he will be healed through the words of Yeshayahu back in Pasuk 5, God tells Yeshayahu, go to Chizkiyahu and tell Chizkiyahu, so says the God, Elokei David Avicha, the God of your father David. Which means that the schus, the merit by which he is, the merit by which he is going to be saved, is the merit of his father, David. So therefore, even l'shalom, merely mar, there is also bitterness. So Rashi goes on to say, Shahare Toluli Harafur, because the healing was dependent, the merit of others. As it said, Tomar Hashem came David Abi Hassan, says God, the God of David your father. L'manil man David Avdi. Kan hoda'atani shani chotei. Since you told me that I am being saved by virtue of my father, David, in his chut, which means, that means therefore that I sinned. Kach pirshu chachamim. That's how our rabbis explain the pasuk. But Rashi says, I will be yishuv han mikra mashma. The pshat in the pasuk is the following. Hinein shalom mar li mar kishinit basarti miyitchol hoshieni miyad samcherev mar li mar al choyi shayiti natui lamut velo samachti vibesuda v'ata betuvcha chashakta nafshi mibledet et shachar. He says, even when you told me that I that we're going to be saved from the hands of Sancherev, I couldn't enjoy the good news, because when I received the good news that Sancherev is going to fall around the city of Yerushalayim, I am burdened with my own personal illness that may mean the end of my day, so I could not enjoy the great victory that is to come. But now that you have healed me, now I can enjoy that victory as well. So Hinei Shalom, when you told me that everything was going to be alright, Mar Li Mar, it was still bitter to me. But what you wanted is, you desired my life. Mishachat, from the very depth, Mishachat Bali, from the word Bali over here, this is also a word that we use in modern Hebrew. You know what the meaning of the word Belai is?
Yeah.
Huh? Wear and tear. You ever signed a contract?
Belai.
Belai.
Belai doesn't mean pay wear and tear.
Well, it certainly does.
Belai is say.
No, we're talking Hebrew.
Oh,
I'm talking Hebrew. Beis Lamed Aleph Yud. Beis Lamed Aleph Yud. It very often in a contract will say that you're not responsible. The person who rents the apartment is not responsible for belay tivi, natural wear and tear. But you are responsible for any belay that is untivi, that is not natural. In other words, if you cause damage to an apartment, you have to pay. Yeah? Excellent. It's in Devarim. It's in Devarim, in Vaskanan, where God says that the 40 years I took you through the desert, Sinlotcha, your clothing did not wear out. Lo bolso me'alecha, v'na'alecha, v'dagmecha lo batseka. That's very good. So he says, you saved me from the rubbing out, the wear and tear on my life. Ki hishlachta achare geivcha kol chatoi, because you cast behind your back all of my sins. Cast out all my sins. Ki lo sha'ol todecha, mavet yehalalecha, because not the grave is going to thank you, God. It's not from the grave that you're going to be thanked. He's really saying the same idea as Lo Hamaytin Yahaluka. Kilo Sha'ol Todecha Mavet Yahalalecha. The word Kilo applies to this too. The dead are not going to praise you. Velo Yisabru Yordei Bor El Amitecha. Yisabru. What does Yisabru mean? No? That's mashbir. We're not talking about a mashbir. Very good. That's one pasuk. Good. Another pasuk. Naomi says to Ruth, go back. What are you going to wait for? Even if I would be with a man tonight and have a child, halohein tisaberna, are you going to look forward to marrying them? Well, one other place. Einei chol eilecha yisabedu. The eyes of all look toward you. Yisabedu is looking with anticipation toward God. So he says, Lo yisabnu yardei bar, those who go down to the pit, don't look. El amitecha, don't look to see the truth of your greatness. It's all over. It's all over. Chai chai hu yodecha. Who is the one that's going to thank you and praise you? The one who lives, kamoni hayom, like I am to today. Av levanim yodia el amitecha. Interesting. Interesting. Do you hear what he says? Even though I haven't seen it, even though I haven't seen it in the Mefarshim, but he's really saying over here, I'm going to marry and I'm going to have children. Av levanim, a father, two children, yodia el amitecha, is going to let your truth be known. Hashem lahoshieni. God is the one who said that I should be saved. Uniginosai minagain koyime chayenu al beit Hashem. And the song of praise we will sing all the days of our life in the house of God. Ayami Yishayo said, Yisu develet tainim, let them take figs, crushed figs. Now what it says? What's your English say over there? Pressed figs. Much better word than crushed. Pressed figs. V'yimnechu al ashkin v'yechi. And they should put it on the shkin. The shkin it was a boil. There was an infection that he had. And it seems that according to Chazal and the Farshim, the worst thing for that kind of an infection is figs. So it was Nes B'toch Nes. There was a double miracle over here. That he comes to, he recovers, and what is it that causes and brings about his recovery? Something that shouldn't have caused a recovery at all, but something that should have made his illness final. Like the Marian, exactly. When the Jewish people leave the Red Sea and they come to a place where the waters are bitter, so God shows Moshe a bitter stick to put into the bitter waters, and the bitter stick by Elisha, the same thing. Well, what's really happening over here is Yeshayahu is telling him to put salt on his wounds and heal him. Vayomer Chizkiyahu Ma'ot Ki E'ele Beit Hashem. How wonderful is this sign that I will be able to go out. Here is a sign I have been given that I will be able to go to the house of God. Alright, one more chapter, we're going to finish it, we're going to finish this whole section. Beit Hahi. At that time, Sholach Merodach Baladam Ben Baladam Nelech Bavel Svarim Minchel Chizkiyahu. This seems to be the very beginning of the rise. It's at that point a very, I wouldn't say insignificant, but a not terribly important country in the political, the geopolitical arena of the Middle East. Babel. The might, the power had been Ashur. Ashur was crushed by the gates of Yerushalayim. Now, new power is beginning to appear on the scene. Ba'etahi, at that time, Shalach Merodach Baladon ben Baladon, Melech Babel, the king of Babel, sent Svarim Mincha El Chizkiyo. He sent letters and a gift to Chizkiyo by Yishma, because he had heard Chichola that he had been ill by Yechazak, and he had become strong. How did he know? I mean, how did he find out about it? He seems to. So that's one pshat, but that's not the pshat I was going to give, because if the pshat is word gets around, I wouldn't have asked the question, right? I wouldn't have asked the question. Huh? I wouldn't have asked it. Rashi says the following. He used to eat breakfast 3 hours after the beginning of the day. V'yosham ab tet, he ended up sleeping until 9 hours. Kivim shechosa galgol chama l'chizkiyahu, tishom ab bishnas ab b'tesh shoyis matzo shuhu shachnes, b'kish l'arog is kol avodah. When the day went haywire because of Chizkiyahu's illness, he gets up and he thought it should be earlier in the day, and it comes out that it's much earlier in the day. So he thinks, really, that he slept around the clock. He becomes confused by the fact that there's... Listen, look what happens to us when we change 1 hour of the day. We dread it beforehand, except of course, I can't stand the end of summertime. The end of summertime, I think it should be extended. Summertime should be extended sometime till the spring. The first few days are so depressing, you know, it gets dark early, I don't like it, I like a nice long day. So here he becomes very confused, so he wants to kill his servants. So he has his soothsayers who tell him something happened with Chizkiyahu. We've gotten information, something happened with Chizkiyahu, and because of him the day became a much longer day. So therefore he sends gifts then. Vayismach aleihem Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was very happy with them, with the guests. Vayarein et beit nechoto, he showed them his storehouses. Et hakesef, that hazav, the silver, the gold, that absam, the spices, that hashem atov, the good oil, that kol beit kelav, all of the houses in which he stored those things that were his. You see, kings don't have to give their gifts back to the government, so they can keep them. So he was able to show all of his wealth. Everything that he had in his storehouses, his treasury. There was nothing that Chizkiyahu did not show them in his house or in his entire kingdom. And here Rashi says, Rashi says two words, Af Sefer Torah. Even he showed them a Sefer Torah. Vayavo Yishayahu Anavi El Amelech Chizkiyahu. Yishayahu the prophet came to the king Chizkiyahu. Vayomri Lov, and he said to him, Ma Amru Ha'anoshim Ha'ela, what did these people say? U'me'ayin Yavo Elecha, and from where did they come to you? Vayomer Chizkiyahu said, Me Eretz V'choka Bo'u Elai, from a distant land they came to me, Mi Bavel. And he has to tell him, Bavel, not because this is a new up and coming state. Beautiful Rashi here. Let me read the Rashi to you. Ze echad me'eretz v'cholka, from a distant land they came to me. Ze echad mishlosha b'nei Adam, this is one of three people, shebod kon hamakom, that God tested them. I mean, without the Rashi I couldn't have said it myself. I wouldn't dare, even though you'll see the comparisons. Kayin, Chizkiyahu, and Bilam. But Rashi says, Yeshayahu asks, who are these people that came? Where did they come from? Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu, should have told him, you're a Navi, you know. Hayalo Lahashir, he should have answered him, Atan Vyoshal Makam, you are God's prophet, V'liat HaShoel, and you ask me? He became... There was a moment of pride. The chapter over here is talking about a moment of pride. A little pride that spilled over into a sense of conceit. Chizkiyahu surrendered to a moment of weakness. You don't have to show them everything. Okay, go ahead.
The question is, how did Bavel with such a strange thing? It's mentioned long, long, long before in the Tower of Bavel. And Bavel...
No, we're talking about a kingdom.
I understand.
No, you don't understand. Bavel was a backwater nation. If we're talking right now, immediately after the fall of Asher, it's not a matter of knowing the name of a place or where it is. But there is a kingdom that is rising there. There is a... It's beginning to show signs of great life. What's wrong with that answer? Wasn't it a good answer?
It's a good answer, but it should have been... In other words, Assyria, Bubba, all occupied basically the same plot of land, Mesopotamia.
Listen, there's a historic fact that we're dealing with over here. For example, Persia does not exist at that time as any kind of a power. Persia would be a power 150 years later. So if he would have said that people came to me from Persia, you know, we'd all of a sudden have to take notice. That's what Babel is nothing. Babel is nothing. It's a banana republic. That's what it is at the time. So he gives in to that moment of a sense of pride, conceit. So Rashi goes on to say, he became full of pride, and he said, from a distant land they came. That's why he was punished. And also because he was happy about their visit and that he gave them to eat. The same thing was true to understand the company that Chizkiyahu, you should know, is one of the great tzaddikim of the kings of Yehuda. We're going to have to fill in the story of Chizkiyahu so that you're not left with any incorrect impression. But look at the company he keeps over here, and Rashi explains why is he in the same company with Cain and Bilam. So he says, V'chein Bilam. By Bilam also, God appears to him and says, Miha Noshim Ha'ele Ima, who are these people who've come to you? So he says, listen, Balak, the king of Moab, has sent to me. He should have turned to God and said, you're asking me who these people are, what, you don't know who these people are? But there's this moment of pride at which he wants to say, take a look at who has come to visit me. V'amar, he said, Balak ben Tzipor melech Moab shalach alai, Balak ben Tzipor, the king of Moab, has sent to me. V'chein Cain. Same thing with Cain. God says to him, where is your brother Hevel? So what, he has to... he has to answer him. He could have told the Rebbeinu, what, you're asking me? You don't know where Cain is? V'chein Cain. Shamalo, ey hevel ochicha, where is... Huh? Very good. Very good. Now I have a problem. Why doesn't... Wait a minute. What was his response? He didn't say... Adam's response was not like Cain's or Bilam's. It was a different response. He said, "Va'ira, I was frightened, ki Adam anochi, because I am naked." So God tells him, "Who told you that you're naked?" No. It was not. There was no such thing as him turning to God and saying, "What do you mean you don't know where I am?" No, Ayeka is a metaphysical question, like, "Where are you going?" Cain and Bilam and Chizkiyahu over here. And remember, there's a big difference, because by Chizkiyahu it's Yeshayahu who has asked him who are these people. By Cain and Bilam it's God himself. But in a sense, what I always like about a Maimon Chazal of this sort is the following: that Chazal and Tanakh never create for us heroes who are simply absolute perfection. The only people who are absolute perfection that I know in all of history were Stalin, Lenin, most probably Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, right? In other words, dictators, Rishayim, throughout history made certain that the image of them that was presented to the world was absolute perfection. We can have great tzaddikim, but the great tzaddik, even the great tzaddik, there are moments at which he can slip and fall. And he realizes it. In other words, you bring it to his attention, he realizes it. They are much larger than life, in terms of how we have to look at them, but they're human. Yes?
What about Shaul and Shmuel?
What about Shaul and Shmuel?
When Shmuel comes to him, he said, what
are
the sounds of the sheep?
Oh, so... So what should...
I listened to
Kol Hatzon, what is the sound of the sheep that I hear? So he gives it, you mean, so he should have said to him, you're God's prophet, you should know what the sound is. Alright, that's not a bad, no, you don't like that? In other words, why, you know what his response is? Shaul's response to that question is similar to the response of Adam. It is, a sense, the excuse. And the excuse, therefore, is more important to him than anything else. He wants to, in other words, he knows already. He knows already that he has done something terrible. Adam knows he's done something wrong. Shaul knows that he's done something wrong. He's just not ready to own up to it yet. But there is no, you know, puffing up of, well, the king of Moab sent to me. The king of Babel sent to me. Yes. What is... I'll tell you. No, he didn't know he did something wrong. Because take a look at what he says. Hashomer, his response to God is, Hashomer ochi anochi, am I... No, that's not an excuse. You know what that is? That seems to be a frontal attack on God. It's okay, not man of business. It's lacking in the... I would say that there is a sense of humility, both Shaul and Adam are in a sense humbled by the question. Cain is not humbled. And it's because he's not humbled, and I think most probably now we've gotten to what is the common denominator of these three. The common denominator is they are not humbled by the question, but there's a sense of, call it arrogance or pride in their response. In all of the other responses, there is a sense of, you know, shifting the blame, trying to find an excuse, but what's lacking is there is no arrogance involved in it. That's good. I appreciate all of the questions today. Today. I don't. Lo b'chol yom. Not every day. Vayom l'chizkiyo. So Chizkiyo said, me'eretz v'choko bo elai. They came to me from a distant land, Mibabel. Vayom emar rohu b'neitecha. And he said, what did they see in your house? And he said, take a look now. You know what's really happening over here as I read the psukim again?
He's inviting
him. He's trapping him. Yeshayahu is trapping him and he has fallen directly into it. Like, he doesn't realize yet that something is wrong. Yeah, like, the Navi is asking him questions and he's responding to the questions. You know why he's responding to the questions? Because he's so overwhelmed by the great covet that he had, he wants to tell it to the Navi. It doesn't strike him for a moment. What are you talking about? What are you telling the Navi? What, the Navi doesn't know? Why does he lose sight of that? He loses sight of that because he is so overcome by this great visit. Just as Bilam is overcome by the fact that, wow, Balak, the king of Moab, has sent to me. What did they see in your house? He still doesn't get it. His response is, everything that is in my house, they saw. Lo hayadavar, it gets worse by the second. Lo hayadavar ashelo hititim biotzotai, there is nothing in my treasure houses that I did not show them. Now remember, what could possibly be going through the mind of Chizkiyo if we would have to find some kind of a defense? My God, look what he gave me. Klal Yisrael is a significant factor in the world. Well, one can easily attempt to explain that what Chizkiyo is doing over here is, you let the world see. Let the world see. They thought that we had been utterly destroyed, or we were about to be utterly destroyed. And take a look, we are supposed to be utterly from the very depths. God brings, raises us up. Yes. Very good.
The second time he worried about it.
Very good.
Even the joy of Yerushalayim was spoiled because he personally is sick. That's also too personal.
Yeah, that's personal, but at least
there it's honesty.
There it's honesty. He says, what he's really saying to God over there is, because you have healed me, now I can enjoy the great news about Yerushalayim.
Of course, that's psychologically true.
Okay. Good. Wait. So what we're saying is the following: Et Kasher beBeitira'u Lo Haya. He's making it very personal, and it's not really personal. If he wants to show them the greatness and the strength of Klal Yisrael, then it's not my house, and it's not my storehouses. And by the way, if I was making reference, I made that off-the-cuff remark about, you know, kings don't have to give it over to the government. The prophet may very well be saying over here, what do you mean, they're your otzarot? They are your treasure houses? It's the property of Klal Yisrael. It belongs to the Jewish people. You are king by virtue of the fact that you are the leader of the Jewish people, and it's all theirs. It's not your personal greatness that you are showing off. Vayomer Yeshayahu el Chizkiyahu. Yeshayahu said to Chizkiyahu, Shema Dvar Hashem Tzvakot. Listen to the word of the God of hosts. Now, you may recall, I'm debating with myself whether to hand this out to you and give you homework for next week. I have on these sheets every place where it says Hashem Tzvakot in Sefer Yeshayahu, every pasuk with Hashem Tzvakot, and every pasuk where God is referred to as Kedosh Yisrael. Now, I was thinking that I would give it out to you, let you read it, and come back next week and say, if I asked you to define what is meant by the God of hosts, well, I would expect to hear responses from you. Or if I would ask you, what does Kedosh Yisrael mean? What does Yeshayahu mean when he refers to God as Kedosh Yisrael? And then I may even ask you a question as tricky as, where do we have God in one pasuk described as Kedosh Yisrael and Hashem Tzvakot? I will even ask you, where do we have it in davening? I mean, I can say beautiful.
Very good.
Yisrael, Hashem Tzvakot Kedosh Yisrael. Right before Shimon Ezra in the morning. Goalenu Hashem Tzvakot Kedosh Yisrael. In one pasuk, we have the two descriptions of God.
Wow.
Yeah, we know that. Now, you're not going to tell over the whole shit to everybody during the course of the week. All right, so while I'm finishing this chapter, this is... oh, God, do I have it all? Yeah. Yes. Sounds all right. These are really. I don't know if I have. Do I have Kedosh Yisrael? But here there are two sheets with Hashem Tzvakot. I'll give it out right away. All right. Now let's finish. Hineyamim vayim. Days are coming. V'nisakol Hashem v'vitecha. Everything that is in your house will be picked up and taken away. V'asher otzlu avutecha adayom hazeh bavel. And all that your fathers stored away until today will be taken to Babylon. Lo yivater davar amar Hashem. Nothing will remain. Nothing will remain. And Rashi makes, of course, the great comment. What was it that Yeshayahu had said? Lo hayot davar. There was no davar that I didn't show them. So therefore, God says, lo yivater davar. Nothing will remain. Umibanecha asheyetsu imcha. And from your children are going to come from you, asher tolid whom you will give birth to, Yikachu, they will be taken, Vahyusarisim, Beheichal Melech Babel, they are going to be servants in the temple, the palace of the king of Babel. Who are the Sarisim? Who are the children that are going to be the Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, the Azariah? Vayomer Chizkiyahu el Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu said to Yeshayahu, Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta. This is David HaMelech. This beautiful, precisely, this is David HaMelech. Just as we said earlier that the Gemara says about Chizkiyahu, that Chizkiyahu said to Yeshayahu, Kach mekublani mi beit avi, Abba, this I have received from my father, that even cheref chadam unachat al tzubar shalom, he should not despair. He is David all over again by virtue of the fact that he immediately admits his guilt. He does not claim any kind of innocence, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I thought it would be good for the Jewish people. He immediately owns up to it all. Vayomer Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu, Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta. The word of God that you have spoken is good. Vayomer, and he also said, Ki yeh shalom ve'emet b'yamai. At least in my days there will be still peace and truth. I'm waiting. We're not finished with this by a long shot. Because what we're going to have to compare this to is the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancherev Gog U'Magog. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu the first one who could conceivably in potential have been Mashiach, was Chizkiyahu. Now if there's a Mashiach, that means there has to be the struggle of Gog U'Magog against Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, why didn't Chizkiyahu become Moshiach? Shelo Omar Shira, because he didn't sing a song of praise to God after the great victory from the hands of Sancherib. All right. Means the
No, wait.
This is here we're on very, very difficult ground.
He does pray.
Yeah, follow up on his letters.
But in 37 he gives even
not after the he did not say Hallel,
right,
after the great victory. So number one, that means in the same one statement of our rabbis we have the two faces of Chizkiyahu. Number one, he is the one, the first one in history who could have been Mashiach. So number one question, what is it about him that could have made him Mashiach? And more than that, even if we just take the statement as it is, then we are talking about a great tzaddik. Chizkiyahu, it says, there was no king like him who did good in the eyes of God as Chizkiyahu did. So on the one hand, Chizkiyahu is a great king. We quoted last week or 2 weeks ago, we quoted the famous Gemara that said that Noatz, he put a sword into the Bet Medrash and he says, whoever will not study Torah will be run through by the sword. And the Gemara goes on to say, they checked from Don until Beersheba and they didn't find Ish v'isha tinok v'tinokim shaloho yuvikiyin v'hilchus tumah v'tara. There wasn't man or woman, male child or female child, that were not experts in the most difficult most of all. In the days of Chizkiyahu, Klal Yisrael became a people of Torah. So therefore we're talking about kind of things are said about Chizkiyahu that were not said about any other king of Yehuda. Now we have to put all of these into the hopper before we are able to take a look at the personality of a Chizkiyahu. He could have been Mashiach. Why could he have been Mashiach? And then of course the big question is going to be, well, why indeed didn't he say why didn't he institute he can say Hallel without a bracha, you know? Hallel without a bracha is also Hallel. Why doesn't he do it? And then again, yes, how does he fall into the trap of here? How does he fall? So it's not enough just to say that there was weakness, a moment of human weakness. But remember, the moment of human weakness is balanced out by the greatness of owning up immediately. David HaMelech was also the great David HaMelech. He's the great David HaMelech of Tehillim, but he's also the David HaMelech who erred. There were mistakes that he made. He was human. And even when we say human, remember, I don't mean Chas V'Shalom to say, for example, that his sin with Bathsheba was a sin of a married woman. This Chazal and the Mefarshim make it very clear. We spent a few weeks talking about it a few years ago. It was something that wasn't right, but it was not adultery by any stretch of the imagination. By any stretch of the imagination. So even here, when we're talking about Chizkiyahu, we cannot see the sin of Chizkiyahu in the human terms that we would want to see it. We have to find some way of explaining. So these are the two things we're going to have to explain. We're going to have to figure out, well, why didn't he say Shiva? We're also going to have to understand, why does God want to make him Mashiach? What was there so unique? Is it him? Is it the period of time at which he lives? Are the circumstances such that are messianic? And there, of course, we once, in a completely different context, spoke about the Malvin, who says that, and really we've been saying this in the Parsha Shir, when God tells Yaakov, your children will be like the dust of the earth, so the Mefarshim say, it means when Israel will be treaded upon, stepped on, like the dust of the earth, then automatically there's going to be the great blessing of Ufadaksa Yoravakim Motsaton of Anegba. If there were, ever was a moment in history at which Israel was being trampled upon, and as we described, there was a moment at which one more battle, and it would have been the end. All of Eretz Yisrael had been captured. 10 tribes had been sent into exile. The only right plum waiting to be plucked and picked by Sanhedrin is Yerushalayim, and there at the gates of Yerushalayim he is destroyed, which means that in terms of the historic necessity, Chizkiyahu or the people of Chizkiyahu's day could have said, we need Mashiach now. And there are moments at which, and we will see, there are moments at which the historic necessity combined with the fact that there's a great man like Chizkiyahu, the two of them come together in order to create the situation in which the possibility exists for Mashiach. But we'll see that the Malvin of Mefarshim was the first one, and that in future generations, the only time when it is possible, or when it becomes probable that the Messianic era is about to begin, it depends completely on the extent to which Klal Yisrael is trampled upon in the world. When it seems that all hope is lost, there's one last hope, and that hope is Mashiach. And Chizkiyahu could have been this, but he didn't say Shiva. So what are we to say? Are we to say that we're smarter than Chizkiyahu, you know, because we say Hallelujah either with a bracha or without a bracha on Yom HaAtzmaut. We're not smarter than Chizkiyahu. We will see that there was a method for everything that Chizkiyahu did. But we'll say that. Sarah. There are many psukim where it says Hinei Yamin Ba'im Nehum Hashem. Lo Ra'av La Lechem V'lo Tzamei Lamayim Kiyim Rishmar Etvar Hashem. But Yamin Ba'im can mean either terribly tragic days or days of absolute greatness. Either one of the two. Enough places in Tanakh for any one of the two.